Today on Real Radio.
Every one of us, if we're a Christian tonight, is in a war. I don't know how you think about that, but you are in a war more real right now. You are in a war more dangerous and with more at stake than World War II, than all the world's wars of any time.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always. My days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Paul's letter to the Ephesians. We're in its final chapter, chapter 6, and among believers, the verses we're looking at are a well-known section of the New Testament. Paul tells us to put on the full armor of God. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a presentation called The Source of Power.
Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against principalities or spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. Having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. The most important series of teachings I think that we've ever done in this church begins here tonight. I'm excited about it. In John chapter 18, verse 36, Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world." Are you ready for that? I love it. He says, "My kingdom is not of this world." The word he used is cosmos. The kingdom that I have jurisdiction over and that I've created is not of this cosmos. It's not limited and it is not bound by the material universe. He says, if my kingdom were of this world, my servants would rise up and fight. We don't fight, do we? I mean, we might go to war or we might have to do those kinds of things of this life, which God, I believe, calls us to do. But we will not fight in the sense of the way the world does. Christians cannot war against the government or against the nations of the world with guns. It won't work. If we're really going to be successful as Christians in a warfare, we have to go to our knees. And we'll come to this in a couple of weeks or months, actually, as we look into this. But Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world." In Acts chapter 17, verse 28, Paul says, "We live. It is Him that we live and move and have our being in." And the fact of the matter is that we might move in this flesh as Christians in this world, but the fact is we do not conduct ourselves according to the flesh, but of the Spirit. And by the way, as we get into this, obviously, as we've read this, verses 10 through 18, we're going to talk a lot about Satan, and we're going to be pulling his mask off a few times, and we're going to be checking him out. And I want to say this up front. By no means will this be a PR ploy for Satan. We're not going to give him any glory that's due to him, because he loves it, actually. And we're not going to do that. We're going to expose his tactics. We're going to do a lot of homework together. And I'm going to suggest to you over the course of the series that we're going to maybe read some books together, some great Christian books about warfare. I don't know where you are, and I don't know how you are in your Christian life, but I have never seen spiritual attack like we have in these couple of years. And by the way, it's not just here. It's everywhere with every pastor I speak with. Unbelievable attacks against the home, against the family, against marriage, against children, against what is right, against what is holy. People are making agreements as Christians, shaking hands, they say, and then breaking the deal off and throwing each other away, basically, and no one's holding to an agreement anymore. And there's these things about the home life that's just falling apart. There are parents walking out on children, children running away from parents. And there are families right here that are absolutely being devastated because of apathy and laziness, and moms not praying, and dads not praying, and children not caring at all. They don't care that their parents love them. They don't care that their parents say, "We want you home by 10. They think it's some kind of a horrible thing. These are difficult and very dangerous days. And there's an apathy that is, quite frankly, something I've never seen before. What I want you to do tonight is jot down regarding verse 10. That's what we'll look at this evening, is in verse 10. And I want you to ask this question. In fact, throughout the series, we're going to be asking many questions. But one of them will be tonight, who goes to battle in this war? If we're in a Christian fight, if we're in a spiritual war, who goes to battle? Is it just the men? Or is it just the young men? Or are we more enlightened like the nations of the world and send just the young men and women to war? Or is it everybody? It is everybody, and we're going to see why in a moment. But who goes to battle in this war? How many of you are Christians tonight? Raise your hand. You're really a Christian. You know it. Boy, look around, everybody. Isn't that a beautiful thing? You're really a Christian, and you love God, and you raise your hand, and you vote, "Yeah, I'm a Christian." You know what? You're in a war. Did you know that? You're in a war. The moment you got born again, the enemy loaded up his barrel and began to put you in his sights. Did you know that? "Pastor Jack, don't say that. I just got saved last week." Well, let me be the first to tell you, friend, the enemy has drawn a target on your back. There's a great picture. You've seen Gary Larson, Far Side. Have you ever seen those? Have you seen the one? You know what? You know, you already know which one I'm going to. Where the two bears are standing in the woods, and that one bear's got a target on his chest. It's a bullseye. And his friend goes, "Bummer of a birthmark." That is great. The moment you gave your heart to Christ, the enemy, so to speak, drew a big target on you. And that's why things were going so smooth before you came to Jesus. Have you noticed? Oh yeah, we got peace. Yeah, we got power. And man, do we have a purpose to live now in this life, in these days. But man, is it tough. It is hard. Why? Because the enemy has drawn a line on you to shoot you. But no need to be afraid, because the battle belongs to who? The Lord. And we are simply called to be the crew that mops up, that comes in and secures not the war exactly, but little skirmishes and battles along the way. We have, in fact, the moment we gave our heart to Christ, we stepped into Canaan land. And you thought, "Well, Canaan land, I thought Canaan land was heaven." Well, where'd you get that from? Heaven is heaven. Canaan land is not heaven. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt and they went into Canaan land, what was in Canaan land? Giants, the enemy, a horrible war. And as long as they walked with God, they were victorious. The moment they took their eyes off of the Lord, what happened? They got shot. They got beat up. They got knocked around. They got their chariot wheels plucked off, you know? It was very tough going. This is Canaan land for us. The moment we accepted Christ, yeah, he came into our lives, and man, he gave us eternal security and hope in him, and we've got a wonderful, wonderful mission in this life. But the fact of the matter is, Christian, there are enemies in the land. And I want to just jump right on you right now. And that is this. Do you really believe that there's a spiritual war taking place? Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that our greatest enemy is invisible? That they are of a spiritual source and of agenda and of an appearance? and of a goal that is unlike anything that you and I have ever seen. And in fact, if God were to peel back just a moment, a nanosecond of this temporal age to allow you to see on the other side, would you be able to stomach what is on the other side? There are a few people that have had the opportunity to see such things. And though we don't want to build a case on what they've seen, we do want to glean all from what the Bible has to say and come to the conclusion that there's a spiritual war that is so incredibly intense, and that there is an enemy who commands a force that has intense and well-structured rankings of power. They're called principalities and powers and rulers of the dark age, or of the realms of darkness. Demonic and fallen angelic powers commanded by Lucifer himself, Satan or the devil, goes by those various names, but also there are those that seem to be of a rank that are his henchmen. There are those, there's one, for instance, mentioned in the scripture that some people wonder, is it Satan or is it one of his strong fallen angels that align themselves with him, or is it a very high-ranking demon? And that is the one known as Apollyon in scripture, a very, very diabolical destroyer. In fact, he's made reference of in the Old Testament as well as the New, that he is the destroyer. And people argue, is it Satan or is it one like him? Well, there are rankings. And do you know about those rankings? Do you know what they do? What's the difference between a fallen angel and a demon? Do you know? You need to know. If some thing, if some entity was to come and harass you, would it be a fallen angel or would it be a demonic attack? There's a difference. We need to know the difference. And by the way, how do you fight off a demonic attack? Do you go down and rent Ghostbusters, you know? Do you put garlic around your neck? Works in the movies. Yeah, I know. You get a cross. That's what you do. You get a cross. Good luck. A cross is only going to bring you luck. It's not going to help you at all. Satan's much smarter, much more powerful than that. Holy water. Did you hear what Walter Martin, remember him? Anybody remember Walter Martin? Awesome, wonderful man of God. And Walter Martin said on radio all throughout America and Canada, I was driving down the street one day many years ago and I heard this and I died laughing. Walter Martin said that every pastor should have holy water with them at all times. And he says, if you don't have any, just get some water and boil it in a pot and get that pot and that water boiling so hot, so intense that you just boil the hell right out of that water. And that makes it holy water. Well, holy water is not going to do a thing. Those are things of superstition and of movies. There's one thing that will ward off and actually defeat the workings of Satan, and that is going to the God of heaven and knowing how to go to him. And we're going to have fun because as we go through this study, we're going to learn how to use the Word of God. Did you know something? Just because I can't contain my anticipation, I've got to spill some of the beans right now. Which is what my outfit looks like I spilled on. Beans. You know, if you are under, say, temptation, attack from the enemy, and you said, I just learned at church, I've got to fight the enemy with the Bible. And you know, if you go, you pick up your Bible, which this is good, you're doing really great so far. And you open up your Bible, and you go to Genesis 1:1, and you say, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What do you think that demonic attack will do? Laugh in your face. But Jack, I'm quoting Bible. It doesn't work that way, friend. In fact, when Satan was attacking Jesus Christ with temptation, what did he use? He used the Bible. When Jesus there fought Satan, what did he use? Did he use Genesis 1:1? He used the specific Word of God for the specific attack. That is the only way the Bible will work against demonic attack. It has to be the specific word against the specific attack, which means you must know your Bible. You've got to know your book. You can quote all the chapters of Leviticus and still be in deep trouble unless you go to the exact specific scripture. Example, if Satan comes testing you with maybe, doubt, you can come right back and say, Lord, I'm calling upon you. In Jesus' name, I am resting on the fact that, Lord, you will never leave me or forsake me. Lord, that your word is a light and a lamp to the path and to my feet that I'm on. Lord, you're the one, as your Bible says, that all those who will come unto you, will not be cast aside or be rejected. So Jesus, I'm coming in my doubt and in my fear, and I'm calling upon your name. And you quote and you pray Bible, and you watch the power that will flood into your life in an instant of time. You see, many of us suffer from spiritual attack for a terribly elongated time, and maybe we don't ever get victory over it because the fact of the matter is we're not using the Word of God right. The Bible tells us, and in fact, he'll tell us in a few weeks, Paul will, that we are to take the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. And the word that he used for sword is the Greek word makaira. And I bought one when I was in Israel, and I'm going to bring it here when we come to that portion of Scripture, and you'll see why it's called the makaira, the killing tool. It's not a sword. Your Bible in the English calls it a sword. The Makaira of the Holy Spirit is once you have taken the Roman broadsword that's about 3.5-4 feet, it's huge. You get that thing, you've seen, right? You've all seen Ben-Hur and things like that, have you? That big, huge sword? Those Roman soldiers, before they got into hand-to-hand combat, they would draw out that sword and get that thing going like a figure eight in front of them. And let me tell you, you get 45, 50 pounds of metal flying in front of you, and you look like something serious there. And the deal is, when combat got too close, you would jettison your sword, and you would reach to your, if you're right-handed, it was on your left thigh. You would reach down so that the moment you reached, you would come up slicing. And it's an 18-inch blade known as the Makaira. And the reason why they made it 18 inches is because when you're in hand-to-hand combat, aren't you glad you came tonight? Guys are digging this stuff, aren't we, guys, huh? It's like, give me more, man. Get some ketchup up here and spread it all over us. You pull out this sword and you come slashing at your enemy. Now you are in such close proximity to your enemy, it's now hand to hand. Okay? And you use the Makaira like this because you don't have to see where you're going with it. All you want to do is stab the guy with as much thrust as you can, because if you get the blade in there, the blade is sharp enough, short enough, narrow enough, but deep enough that you will definitely strike vital organs if you do. You'll kill them. Your big broadsword won't do you any good because while you're swinging, what's wide open? Your whole belly's open. Your whole system's open. But close combat. And that is the word, Christian, that God has called us to know. You are to know, and I am to know, the Makaira of the Spirit of God. So this is exciting stuff. Who goes to battle? Chapter 6, verse 10. He says this, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." The first thing is finally. You got to circle that word. It's a great word. The word finally means this. After everything I've said, 6.5 chapters. This is what Paul means. 6.5 chapters of everything I just told you about, now I've gotten to the part that's the most important. That's exactly what he's saying. You want to understand that you're seated in the heavenly places, chapter 1? You want to know that you're salvation is secure in Christ because He has foreordained you to be His child before the world was ever created. Chapter 1, chapter 2. That God has set you in a place of acceptance and of love that cannot be shaken. Chapter 3. that He has promised to give unto us exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think, chapter 3, verse 20, that we have been gifted by the Holy Spirit of God as a Christian. Remember how many of us raised our hands a moment ago? You realize in this room right here tonight, there's enough gifts in the life of one believer, at least one gift, spiritual gift per believer. We could overthrow this entire city and county with as many people are in here tonight with one, just think, one gift of the Holy Spirit in operation for God's kingdom. It's an awesome thing. And Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, the Bible tells us there that the Holy Spirit gives gifts sovereignly according to His will, that we might be people of God, working together to equip and to build one another up in Christ. I need you, and you need me, and you need one another, and I need you over here, and everybody together. Do we really believe that? Do we believe that if we were in a war, that you and I have got to be so linked together that we've got to be thinking the same thing? What do you think we read out of the same manual? We're supposed to be talking the same thing. That's kind of hard to do when somebody's gossiping about somebody else. That's kind of hard when you've got a lot of Nehemiahs, but a couple of Sambalat and Tobias alongside you, undercutting everything that God wants to do. We need to be thinking, saying, doing the same things. Why? Because it is in a life and death situation that we're in tonight. It's awesome. It's a tremendous thing. In Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible tells us there that we need to be submissive one to another in the fear of God. And husbands are to lead their homes, and wives are to follow their godly husbands. And it's supposed to be a wonderful, wonderful implement of war against the forces of darkness. And when if these things are fragmented and goofed up, nothing's going to work. And so that's why he says in verse 18 of chapter 5 that we need not to be drunk with wine, which is a stupid thing to do, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so now he comes to this portion of the Christian warfare. And who is it against? So when he says, finally, it's in light of everything I've just said, Paul is telling us, after all I've spoken and taught, this now is the key. These are the ones who battle in this war. And it is the brethren, that is us. My brethren, the Christian. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. The Christian is to be strong. The Christian is to be powerful. Now watch this. Paul is not saying, everyone listen to this loudly, very clearly. Paul is not, and this is good news, are you ready? Paul is not saying, be strong. Oh, just tough up, will you? Be powerful. That's not what he's saying. You know what? That's the last thing you want to hear, isn't it? Get tough. No, 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 this is the good news. Paul is saying, be strong and be powerful in the Lord's might and in the Lord's strength. You know what this means? What's implied in the Greek is get inside his pocket, jump inside his cup. His palms, his hands go out like the form of a cup, and he says, come on, jump in.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called The Source of Power, part of a mini-series taken from Ephesians 6 and verses 10 through 18 called The Christian in Complete Armor, and we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio with more. Remember, our task here at Real Radio is to equip you with all that is necessary for your Christian experience. So this is a reminder that if you were unable to make it to the recent Southern California Prophecy Conference here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills, well, we're making available its materials. Visit us at realradioactive.org and learn how to get them. realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills in Southern California and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.